We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pregnant ladies and little kids better get the hell out of the way because I am running. I'm like Forrest Gump, dude. I am running. So the Titanic was the biggest ship on the ocean, but that didn't mean it was unsinkable.
Okay. I want you each to use ombudsman in a sentence next week.
I got one for you. My name is Kevin, the official ombudsman of the Just Press Play podcast. You like apples?
Welcome into another edition of the Just Press Play podcast. Kevin here, joined by Pops and Uncle Tony. And you may hear a little pep in our voice, and it could be because the national championship was just played and March Madness, the greatest tournament in all of sports, has now concluded. Or it could be that the biggest story in sports right now is the new head coach getting ready to be announced in Fayetteville. We got a lot to talk about, guys.
We do indeed. A lot to talk about.
I do think we probably start with the national championship and UConn's winning the second of a back-to-back national championship run. But it is worth noting that on the day of the national championship, the day the men's game was fixing to be played, the day after a great women's game was played, ESPN was leading with Coach John Calipari leaving Kentucky to come to the University of Arkansas, which is just But man, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around it.
Kevin, did you just say John Calipari coming to the University of Arkansas?
Leaving the University of Kentucky to come to the University of Arkansas basketball. I mean,
no way.
Just a lot. And we'll get more in depth, but it is interesting. I had to spend some time because I may have had a lot of time where I've built up a case against John Calipari and why I don't like him and why he's a bad coach. I'm ready to reverse all that, and now he's my guy. I will go to war for him. As soon as you put that hog quarter zip on, I'm all in, baby. So we'll get to that. But let's talk national championship. UConn beats Purdue. Purdue and UConn both did what we all kind of thought they would do in the Final Four, what we talked about last week. Bama kept it pretty close with UConn, but it's just they're the unstoppable, what is it, the unstoppable force or whatever.
Immovable
object.
Immovable object, right.
Irresistible Tony, force. They were great, and they were great once again. What was your thoughts on the game?
So, yeah, UConn, definitely best team in college basketball this year and probably of this decade so far. And the team. So, here, my thought was I have not seen better defense played in a national championship game and throughout a tournament than I've seen UConn play. And that goes back to, and I think you could compare to some of those great defensive teams that we saw come through, such as Virginia and Arkansas back in the 90s. But the thing that UConn did defensively, when you start to go back and look at their games, and not a lot of people saw, but for the first, 25 minutes of every one of their ball games, because hell, by then they were up by 20 points. People started turning and watching other stuff, but they were so frantic on defense. They picked you up at half court and there was someone in your face or on your hip. They were disrupting what you wanted to do the whole time. There was no let up. And to me, that's what makes this team is that frenetic pace on defense that really caused folks to get out of what they like to do.
And the other thing I thought too, I totally agree with all of that. But then, and we talked about this, I think leading into the game, is that team can really play whatever style they need to play. Do you want to speed it up? Do you want to run? They can run. Do you want to slow it down and play through your big men? We can do that. And I thought they did a great job of I do want to give a shout out to Zach Edey. He played his tail off and was playing hard. I mean, he was really going after it.
Yeah.
But it was just too much. And I thought, and Hurdley kind of said after the game, this was what their game plan was. They weren't going to just like run doubles at it. They were like, Zach Edey, if he can get 45, he can get 45. But we're going to make sure that supporting cast does not get going. And I think that's the way you, Zach Edey is hard to stop because he's so big. And I thought that was the right play. No one got hot from three. I mean, they only – no one made more than one three. I think the team – as a team, they went one for seven. They went one from seven. So that UConn just said, we're not going to let these guys catch and shoot and beat us outside. And Edey did go 15 to 25 for 37 points, and it was some hard – but they made him work for those points and didn't let anyone else get going. And I think Tony's right, Pops. This is good a team. I mean, this is a comparable team to – That Florida run, any of these back to back runs, I think you've seen. And I was so impressed that they lost three starters and most there in a lot of offensive production and just were like, we're going to keep churning it. Hurley's doing something special up there in stores.
Well, he is. And if you don't believe me, just ask him because Hurley seems to be pretty proud of what they've accomplished. And Tony, you said something about, you know, for the last 5 years, and he's saying they've been running college basketball for the last 30. And you know what? He's not completely wrong. I was telling
since
Kevin
1999,
a little
they have six titles, I believe, which it's more than Duke has as a program.
But I want to talk about Edey a little bit because, boy, that first half, I thought we are getting ready for a game of the ages because Edey, you know, especially when Edey did that little Kevin McHale under, you know, move, I thought, man, he came to play. He was fired up. But, you know, they kept doing that Braden Smith go to the side and then he was going to try to toss up that. Well, you know, Connecticut's going to figure that out. And they did and stole a couple of passes. It looked like Connecticut made adjustments at half and Purdue did not. It looked like maybe Edey went in and ate a donut and it was sitting heavy on his stomach. He just wasn't playing as hard. He looked a little intimidated. He'd get underneath the basket and he would fake up, you know, just go up strong and. I don't know. I was a little disappointed how they came out in the second half, but that probably has a lot to do with how UConn's defense was, to your point, Tony. That damn defense was stout.
Well, and I thought Edey looked, towards the end of this first half, I think you kind of saw it, and I think the announcers
he got a little winded.
He looked gassed, and he played 39 of 40 minutes. I mean, he played a lot, and they were hard minutes. He was sprinting up and down the court. He was blocking some shots.
See, I thought he had a better first half, but he scored, you know, he scored 16 points in the first half, 21 in the second. So, I mean, he did have a decent second half, but it just, God, that first half, I thought, wow.
Well, and I think you're right. So they came out for that second half, and Edey was trying to come out, but I think really quickly, UConn kind of got a couple steals and a couple big buckets, and it was like, oh, man, his legs were already heavy, and then you kind of get a little demoralized. You kind of just lose a little bit of that luster, and I think it showed that they kind of got just the will taken out of him.
But he's played a lot of minutes in every game. I'm just shocked. Do you think maybe the adrenaline rush, maybe
That first half was – that's why I was so impressed with him. I mean, he was everywhere. He was defending the rim amazing, like, you know, helping out, doing a great job, getting out on three-point shots – and then was really good on the offensive end. And then I thought another thing that UConn did well was Klingon was running the floor really hard. Didn't really get very many dunks, but him doing that makes Edey have to sprint back too every time. Yeah. And I think that's what they were like. We're just going to wear this big sucker out and see if he's got it. And he almost did, but he ran out of gas a little.
I think he did. And, you know, another thing, and I think we may have talked about last week, but I still was surprised how high he comes out to set that pick for Smith. I don't know why he gets out there at the three-point line or even beyond that to set that pick, and then they try to roll down. But that play just didn't work very well. And I thought Edey, too, was a little quick to pass back outside. I know he's trying to trust his guys, you know, to hit those threes. But maybe he was out of gas, to your point, Kev. But I thought he could have been a little stronger in the second half. I'm saying that even though he scored more points. So maybe I'm saying that I'm putting this on Edey, but it's probably UConn. I mean, UConn they're a badass team. There's no question. They're good.
In the last two tournaments where they've won every game by double digits, they trailed in the second half of those 12 games by a total of 53 seconds. That's all they trailed in the second half. I mean, they just pretty much every game, they didn't only come out and beat you in the second half, they dominated you in the second half, Tony.
Yeah, it's really, I've never seen anything like this. And I don't know if, you know, they're crunching up Pop Rocks and putting them in Kool-Aid and then drinking that at halftime. I don't know what it is that gets them going. But the two things I think that are interesting is, so with 2 minutes left to go in the first half, it was a four-point ball game, 34-30. Purdue did not get to 40 points until 10 minutes and 20 seconds remaining in the second half. They went 12 minutes and scored 10 points. Every single.
Well, and we saw that. What was it, the San Diego State game? Yeah. Or what was the game? Iowa State, maybe one of the games where they went on that 30-0 run. They can just suffocate you.
Yeah, and so it was amazing. And so the other stat that I think, and that's how, just for the first 5 minutes of that second half, it was, never seen a team play defense like that. And but the statistic is not that Purdue only got one 3-point field goal, is that they only took seven. And, you know, normally, you know, they're taking 15 or 20. They hit 10 in the semifinal game, but they took 20, 25 shots. They can only get off seven shots because UConn made them do something different than what they wanted to do. The length on the perimeter that UConn possessed, and I sent this in a text, interchangeable, the forwards and the guards on that team. They had five guys that could play in any position between the one to the four.
And they're all running you off the three-point line.
It's not the fact they're 6'6", 6'7", 6'4", 6'2", and the Purdue was 6'0", 6'1", 6'2". And just amazing to watch, but only allowed 7 3-point shots. They really did. I saw a comment from a sports writer that said that UConn tricked Purdue or trapped Purdue into doing exactly what they wanted them to do, and they sure did. They started feeding Edie every time and took themselves out of the game, and then they got Edie. He was just tired. I think adrenaline rush was a good comment, Kev, that he was playing on adrenaline that first 18 minutes, and it just ran out because he had to work so hard to get the shots that he got. Doesn't mean he wasn't doing a great job, but he had to really work hard.
There was very little times where he got just an easy dunk or an easy layup. Right. I mean, he was making mm-hmm. tough shots and having to work his butt off to get them.
I was going
to
say, showing so much emotion, which is a little bit unlike him. I mean, he was showing a lot of emotion in that first half. And when you're that high, you know, I do think that it probably made a difference in his.
Well, and it's probably similar to the story that you could Bama had, where they had a fantastic first half, shooting like 60% from three. Their best player, the point guard we all loved in the first
Mark season. Sears, yeah.
Yeah, Sears went 8-for-8 in the first half. And then you look at him like, damn, we're still down by five, though? Like, you played awesome.
Yeah.
And you're like, and we're down by five? Like, we couldn't have played a better half. And I think that's probably what Edie thought, too. It's like, man, I just played my ass off for 18 minutes and was balling. And you look up and you're like, we're losing. How are we losing? I thought we were up by 10.
Right. I thought I was a damn Nostradamus at the end of that first half, because on the pod last week I said, if Alabama can shoot greater than 40%, and I'm like, look, they're in this game. Look what they're doing. And then the UConn run happened. And it's like, well, that was stupid to think that.
they're really good. And Tony, me and Pops were bringing this up, or just kind of discussing right before we got on, before you popped in. It doesn't seem like there's any stopping this, because as Pops alluded to, Danny Hurley's talking his shit, and it doesn't look like he has any expecting this to lose anytime soon. But Kentucky now, I mean, UConn is now up there. I think they have to be mentioned with the best programs in college basketball.
They're in the blue bloods.
No doubt. Yeah.
And my question is, you know, I don't know if you've looked at where UConn is, this is what Pop was saying. It doesn't look like there's a lot to Storrs, Connecticut. I mean, it's cold nonstop. There's not a whole lot to do except, I guess, win championships. Like, that is what impressed me, Pop. What were you saying about that?
Let me tell you a little bit about Storrs, Connecticut. So I looked it up. It's a village and census-designated place in the town of Mansfield, Connecticut. So the population of Storrs is 15,979. And I think the biggest, I mean, it's basically, that's the university. I think Storrs is a community that was donated for that university. And it's in the town of Mansfield. The Mansfield population is 25,892. So, you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is, and I think it looks like you're about an hour outside of Hartford. Look, I've spent a little time in Hartford. It is not just the most happening place, you know, in the world. So,
insurance capital of the world.
Well, it is. And that's why I was there. I was working for an insurance company, quite frankly. But I don't know. I mean, maybe you only go to Connecticut if you really want to study or play, be a good basketball player, because there doesn't look like a lot of other things to do there. But yeah, they're definitely in the membership with Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky. I guess they're still in, although they lost their coach. Kansas, you know, they're in that.
If you look at, so UConn's been running college basketball for the last 30 years. If you add men's and women's, they've won 17 championships in the last 30 years. That's a lot of championships. It's a lot of hardware down there or up there in Storrs, Connecticut.
Cocky, but it ain't wrong.
It ain't wrong. No,
you know,
no,
it's but not. Bobby or Dan Hurley might have one of the coolest things, though. Like 2 or 3 years ago, before they kind of got on their run, he had a post-game press conference where, like, he said, well, they got us, but I hope everybody gets their licks in now, because once we get rolling, it's nonstop for us. And you can call – I don't know. It does seem a little cocky at times. Like, I think Popsy said, yeah, and then we came back and we won it again by a lot. Like, he is a little cocky. He is kind of cocky, but I think it works. I think he's maniacal and super confident. I think it works for these players, and they play like – yeah, we're the best, and we're going to show you why we're the best every game. And did you catch at the end of the game, it was pretty much over, and it's like Hurley didn't realize that he was in a game and thought he was in practice, and he steps on the court and like pushes his player to like run the play that they were trying to do. I don't know if y'all caught that.
I didn't catch
that. I didn't see that.
He got a technical foul by the ref, because the ref's like, what do you do? You can't do that. It looked like a coach in practice, and he just forgot that he's in the national championship because he's wired. He's nuts. He's crazy.
But he got a warning. Yeah, he got a warning because Raftery's like, Danny's going to have to get – I can't do a good Raftery. But Danny's got to get back in the game. He's got his emotions are too far out there. He's got to get back in the game. And next thing you know, he got a warning. The guy gave him a warning. And the guy said, oh, he's out of the box. And they go to – no, he went and grabbed his player or pushed him.
He, like, grabbed him by the top and bottom of his jersey and, like, run the play. Pushed like, him. Pushed him. And that's – I'm with Tony. I heard the same thing. I was like, oh, he went out of the box. Like, that's surprising that they – usually they might just warn him, and then they show the replay. I was like, oh, he did a lot more than just get out of the box.
Yeah. That was – he's very – I did like some of the comments they were making during the game, which they had to because the game had gotten out of hand, about how he knows he runs hot, and that he's get a little emotional. He gets a little a bit – his language is colorful. And he said that his wife has helped him with that a lot, that, you know, she tries to calm him down. And I noticed if you at the very end of the game, he had his son in the game to run the ball, and they wanted to run a play. And he was yelling at him, not to you just hold the ball. And he's come on, let me run a play. Let me score a point in the national championship. Let me do something. He said no. And he started to yell, and I think might have dropped the F-bomb, you know, not that we're scared of that here on this podcast, but he's like, you fucking do what I tell you to do. And I'm like, wow, it's 10 seconds left and you're going to win the national championship. He was still yelling at the dude.
Because he's that way 24-7. That's who he is. But I do think he turns it off for the game, because, like, I've heard him in interviews and he's a good interview. He's fun. Like, he seems like someone you'd want to get a drink around, but you also don't want to piss him off in the game, because he gets like, there's been a couple of times this year where a fan talks a little crazy to him and he looks like he's that close to wanting to get up in the stands and show the fan, hey, we can solve this with some hands if you want to. Yeah.
he's a gym rat. You know, he's a gym rat that's turned coach. That's what, you know, he reminds me of. And that's kind of the way that they play.
Well, he's arguably the best coach in college basketball right now. And I hear, as of we're recording this on Tuesday night, I am hearing that he said he is not interested in the now open Kentucky job, but Kentucky's going to make him turn it down, because I heard Kentucky offered 7 years, $11 million, which would make him by far the highest paid coach. So we'll see. But
wow.
There's a vacancy in Kentucky because Pops, John Calipari chose to come to the University of Arkansas. What is your thoughts on that?
Well, and I'm going to tell you something about Calipari is in that. Y'all are saying Parry, Perry, whatever.
I think it's Perry. I think it is Perry.
Calipari. So we all know who we're talking about. I will say he reminds me of something you were saying about Hurley. Reminds me of Steve, the player, the point guard that was a coach at Phoenix, Steve Nash. When you ask them a question, when you ask Calipari a question, he listens to the question and he tries to answer the question. He doesn't usually give you a bunch of bullshit talk around. I mean, he seems like a guy that's comfortable in his skin and he tries to answer the question. And I've always appreciated that about Calipari. Now, I don't know. I don't never really disliked him. I kind of was irritated at Kentucky when Eddie Sutton said he'd crawl there. That pissed me off a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice that we're hiring this guy away. But from what I've read, you know, they're a little, and I saw his little deal. I think maybe you sent Kevin where he's like, they probably do need a new voice in Kentucky. I think the ship has sailed a little bit on the love for Calipari because they've been down for a few years, lost in the first round again to a double-digit seed. But all that said, I couldn't be more excited about getting him at Arkansas. I think them doing it Final Four weekend, I mean, almost taking over the headline from the Final Four was incredible.
I mean, Sunday night, the night before the championship, the basketball world was turned upside down talking. NBA players are tweeting about it. I mean, it was all that anyone was talking about. Like, Calipari's fixing to leave Kentucky for Arkansas. And it's such a wild, it's a roller coaster of emotions in this coaching search because the Musselman, we kind of could see, oh, there's some things don't look great with Musselman as he may be leaving. And it kind of seemed like that was the worst kept secret that he might be taking this USC job for a couple days. Then he did. Mm-hmm. And right away, the word was Arkansas really wanted Chris Beard. And then Chris Beard turned it down, got an extension at Ole Miss. Then Tang turned it down at Kent State, got an extension from Kent State. And all of a sudden, on Friday or Saturday, the reports were Arkansas was interviewing Mississippi State's head coach. I don't know his name at the moment.
Chris Jans.
University of Arkansas Little Rock's head coach. They were interviewing those two as a possible next head coach. And Arkansas fans were like, oh, no, we're about to go right back to the Stan Heath era. And then this Calipari news came out of nowhere.
Heard Will Wade, you know, the guy that was LSU, went to McNeese State, which, you know, could have been interesting because he's already cheated. So he knows how this thing works now. It's not cheating.
He was trying to pay players before it was before you were allowed to.
So he knows how the game's done. But that was the only other name I heard.
It just is wild. It seemed like, I don't know, the basketball. Like, we were so – like, Musk got us to a great spot. Musk did a lot for the university, especially the basketball program. And it kind of looked like, man – We don't have a single scholar. Like, we only have a one scholarship player on the roster. We're striking out on all these different head coaches. Who knows who's about to lead us? And then you get arguably the biggest name in the sport. I don't know if he's the best coach, but he's probably one of the top five coaches, right, in the country. Home run hire by Hunter Yurcheck.
Home run. I mean, out of the park, grand slam, home run. Yes.
And as of this recording, there is a board of trustees meeting on Wednesday morning where they're going to approve or deny the salary. I would assume they're going to approve it. I don't think you would have all this that else is set up without knowing the board of trustees is going to approve it. I think it's just they have to. And then a press conference at Bud Walton Arena at 6 p.m. That is not normal. Usually the press conference might be at Bud Walton, but it's like a 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock. You don't typically do a prime time press conference unless it sounds like Arkansas is going, we got – this now is a national story. We're going to lean into it. We're about to make this a freaking show, baby. Fans come to Bud Walton. We're going to have the fireworks going off. I mean, and you know what? I think that's smart because that's what Calipari has had some flameouts in the tournament as of late. But what he is going to do is he's going to bring top-tier talent, and you have a chance at a national championship every year with Calipari as your head coach. Every year, it's Final Four should be your expectations, which – hasn't been the case for Arkansas always. It's got, Musselman kind of got us to there, I thought. But, I can't believe it. I'm still kind of in shock.
There can't be any question in any potential recruit's mind that Calipari can get you to the NBA. There's no question that he can do that. Right. And I've read multiple stories that, you know, the Tyson Company is involved in this and that NIL money is just – it's not going to be a problem. We are going to have NIL money to attract the best recruits. So now if you've got NIL money and you got John Calipari, we're going to get some ball players, guys. We're going to get some players.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Tony?
To me, that's – so a couple of things here. Yeah, this was a home run by Yurchik, and I'm thinking that all this stuff we were seeing up until Saturday was a smokescreen.
I'm guessing he always kind of knew this was a chance. Yeah.
And I can guarantee you that he knew it when Musselman – there's a story breaking now or yesterday I read where Musselman had hinted about this last summer when the portal was not being very friendly to him. He wasn't getting who he wanted, that he had started to look to branch out to say, okay, maybe it's time I move on to the next place. Which is his MO, right? I don't get me wrong, and thanks to Coach Musk. But if he wanted to stay, I think that this not this much money, but there could have been money there for him to stay. But I think that was there. So I think Yurchik started, and to his credit, started looking what can we do, and they found this connection with the Tyson family and to Calipari, and so I think it was awesome. So that is the thing. So Musselman brought NBA talent to Arkansas because he had the NBA connections. Well, Cal, same thing, except a little greater. All of the Kentucky players that he got in were getting drafted in the top half. They weren't getting drafted in the bottom half. They weren't spending time in the G League. When Calipari brings a guy in, you're going to play in the NBA. And so I think
And what's interesting is a lot of those guys that Calipari put into the NBA while they were at Kentucky, most of those guys are Calipari guys. They're not, I mean, they like Kentucky, but it's not like they, when Calipari wants a big time recruit, he gets Devin Booker on the phone. He gets Carl Towns. He gets Anthony Davis. And those guys will go, this is who you want to go play. If you want a career, you go play for this guy and he's going to set you up. I do think that he hinted after his last loss that the one and done method may not be the best. He said times are changing with NIL money. You don't necessarily need one and done. So you might go, these guys are getting paid in college now. And so it does seem like he might. And that was the one thing I think he went all in on this freshman mode. And a lot of times when they lost to me in the tournament, it was because they were a little young. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting how this all played out because the other thing I think is interesting about this is I don't think Kentucky is all that mad about the situation. Because I think they had serious thoughts about getting rid of Calipari just because I think they agreed, just like Calipari said in his video that he released on Tuesday about it's kind of time for a change, time for a new voice. I think both sides mutually agreed maybe it's just time for a change. But Calipari's contract is – I don't know how he got this worked into his deal. For Kentucky to fire him or get rid of him, but he had a lifetime contract. For them to get rid of him, they had to pay $33 million. But if he were to leave on his own accord, they don't have to pay anything. And usually a coach for like Arkansas to go get a guy who's under contract, there's a big buyout they have to pay. There was no big buyout for Calipari. So I think it was kind of a, oh, you'd like to go to Arkansas? I think that works out for us too. I think that's all good.
Yeah. And probably here's just, $10 million for your trouble, you know, or whatever. I mean,
yeah.
And he'll 15. Probably, I think Kentucky's kind of like, dang, this isn't the best way. I wish this would have happened earlier in the year, maybe like, you know, they're not spending the last month without an acting coach. But I do think there's part of them going, you know what, we're Kentucky basketball. And they are. Kentucky basketball is still a force to be reckoned with. Any coach, even if Hurley turns them down, any coach is answering a call from University of Kentucky. No, I mean, you just are.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, absolutely. And, I, you know, this couldn't have turned out better. Like I said, it's a home run for Yurchik to get this in here. Now, you know, with the Tyson money, that's our assumption that's where this is coming from. I think it's going to be
great.
Well,
so apparently, and I'm sure you've seen this all too now, apparently Calipari Perry is really good friends with John Tyson, who's one of the, I don't know like where he ranks in the Tyson something. Families.
Yeah. But I think he's the guy, isn't he? He's
so
the son
you
of the
find,
starter. Yeah.
You want a story time here, and I found this interesting. Back in 2011, John Calipari was interviewing with, if you're been around Fayetteville, Arkansas, you'd know the name, but Sports Talk with Bo Mattingly. Mm-hmm. He did an interview with Bo, and in the interview they were talking about he had a relationship with Frank Brewels. And he said in 07, when Arkansas was looking to hire a coach, that's when they got Altman, who then resigned, and they ended up getting
Pelfrey.
In 07, Broyles was talking to Calipari, and he was talking about the coaching search. And Perry, and then he says, what about you coming to coach Arkansas? And he said, what do you mean, what about me? He's like, what about you being our head coach? Like, I want you. And he said he loves Arkansas. He loves the area. And he thinks they're a hidden gem as far as a basketball program. But he couldn't leave that Memphis team. That Memphis team was the Derrick Rose, Chris Douglas Roberts, Joey Dorsey. And he said he had too many seniors on that team. He couldn't leave them. the timing just wasn't right. He made it, that interview, when you go back and listen to it now, I think he always had Arkansas as a program he was very interested in, and it just didn't work out in 07. And then the Kentucky job came open, and he went to Kentucky, and then 15. There's a world where if that Memphis team wasn't that Memphis team, Calipari is now spending, he's like in his 16th year at Arkansas. It's just interesting how the revolving door is there. That's not that out of, and he mentioned in that 2011 interview, he's like, I have a lot of friends in Fayetteville. I mean, me and John Tyson are great friends. I've known him for a long time. Like, this isn't that crazy. It seems crazy when it started breaking on Sunday, but then all of a sudden you start going, oh, more stuff kept coming out. Like, that's not that crazy. And I think Tony's right. I think as soon as Musselman this past month or so, I think Juracek's guy was always John Calipari. And all these things that came out were probably more from Chris Beard's agent trying to get a raise, probably more from Tang's agent trying to get a raise. And I think Juracek always knew his guy was Calipari, but he can't tell anybody about it because they got to button up everything first. Right. And who would have thought that Andy Enfield leaving USC for SMU was going to be the domino that changed college basketball, that shifted the paradigm of college basketball.
Yeah, thank
not
you.
Me. I didn't have that on my bingo card. Jeez,
I'm just glad that SMU fired their guy, and that was a little controversial in of itself. And that was awesome. Thank you very much. And I think it. Boy, howdy! Talk about a 180. You know, from Musselman leaving and thinking, can we get Chris Beard or Tang and seeing those buyouts and know to get in Calipari in town was awesome. I think it's going to be very interesting to watch. I think the centers on our team will be wearing the IBP beef brand. I think our forwards are Hillshire Farm smoked sausage. I think the guards are Tyson chicken nuggets, or maybe strips because they strip the ball. Our assistant coaches get the Wright's bacon. And then Cal gets the Jimmy Dean sausage logo. And I think it's just fine with me. Let it roll. The meat's coming at you, baby.
Well, you know what's interesting is since NIL first kind of became a thing, the talk around, like Arkansas fans said it, and the talk around Arkansas was there's a lot more money around the University of Arkansas than people realize. With the Walmart money, the Tyson money, and the J.B. Hunt money. But I kept hearing that, but I was like, but it doesn't seem like it. All our coaches keep talking about issues with NIL money. And I think it took a name like Calipari for like, the Tysons always are interested, but then they were like, oh, we'll invest in this. We trust this investment. They might not invest in Sam Pittman. And I understand if you're not 100% ready to, because it sounds like to get Calipari to come over, they committed to a lot. I've heard that it's upwards of $6 million a year in NIL money, which is a lot of money. I would think that puts us at the top tier. And Sam Pittman's been talking about for years. I'm sure he's seeing all this reports like, damn, I can't get any of that money. Hopefully John will spare me a million or two.
Yeah, I bet Sam Pittman is not the happiest guy in the world to see John Calipari stroll into town. I think Dave Van Horn can stand up, but boy, Pittman's gotta be like, oh shit. Y'all make sure the boxes are packed, because come November, December, we may be out of here.
We have some breaking news.
What?
It looks like Scott Drew could become the next head coach at Kentucky, leaving Baylor for Kentucky.
There you go.
I'd leave Baylor Kentucky.
I don't think it's a done deal, but
wait, Scott or Bryce?
Scott Drew, the Baylor coach.
The Baylor Drew. Oh,
yeah,
really?
Baylor's coach.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we'll see. It's still early on.
Talked about. Yeah.
There you go.
I think it sounds like the order of coaches was, we're going to make Dan Hurley say no. When he says no, Scott Drew's next. And I'm with you guys. Baylor has just built a new stadium, and Baylor does have is investing some money. But Kentucky is Kentucky. What Kentucky is in basketball is, it's hard to put in. I mean, they just are. It's Kentucky basketball, you know.
Baylor can go get Bryce, and they can still keep it through there, so that'd be fine.
Pops, do you think Calipari brings a championship to Fayetteville?
Yeah, I think I do, because I just think he's going to get the recruits. I've read he's 65. You know, I can't imagine he's looking for the next job. I would think this is the job he wants to finish out his career and. Yes, I think he does bring a title to Arkansas. It can be done. We've been close several times. We've won one, should have won two. We really should have won back-to-back. We should have been in this discussion for back-to-back, but We weren't. But, yeah, I think he does, Kevin. I really do.
Tony, you do too?
Oh, absolutely. And here's, you know, these first time outs for them. He had the talent there, but here's going to be the difference. When you're a double-digit seed and you're rolling up out on the court against Kentucky, you just, your game just, it becomes a Cinderella kind of deal. You roll up there against Arkansas right now, and it's just not the same thing, right? I mean, Arkansas was a powerhouse. I think that's why Musselman had some success. We were that team rolling against the big boys when we would go out against Kansas and North Carolina. You know, we had that push against that blue blood. Arkansas is not right now a blue blood. So I think that helps Calipari manage that part of the game. And I can guarantee you, I would expect that Calipari will not take a team to the NCAA tournament with an 18-year-old guard that's going to go against a 24-year-old guard. He's going to have some age at his guard positions because he's got a clean slate. He can get whoever the fuck he wants because we ain't got nobody. So he can get whatever player he wants right now. So I think he's headed that way. I see big deal, big things.
That's the other thing that was interesting. On Tuesday morning, if you would have liked to look at, the basketball season ended, if you would like to look at future bets for who will win next year's national championship, Vegas had Arkansas with the 15th best odds. And that's a team that did not technically have a head coach and had one scholarship player on the roster. That's the Calipari effect. Just him being there has Vegas like, we got to put some odds on it because there's a chance. There's a chance he could do it next year. I mean, that's the kind of talent
amazing that
he will bring in. And what he's going to do, if nothing else, he's going to bring a lot of excitement to a fan base that loves bad. I think that's what Musselman kind of reminded people, like, this fan base loves basketball. And if you put the talent there, they will rock Bud Walton and they will travel. And I think he's going to reinvigorate what Mus has already done. It's just going up now. I think it's only going up from here with Calipari. And
if you'd have told me we're going to lose Mus, but we're going to get Calipari, wouldn't everybody have bought a ticket to that? Everybody would have said.
Everybody. Hell yeah.
Everybody.
That's what losing Mus, I thought the chances we get a better coach are very slim. Hopefully we just get a similar quality coach. Like, you know, I just I was starting to get real skeptical. I was like ready to just go, well, basketball could be a little rough for a few years. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I was blown away when I saw this on Sunday night. I didn't even believe the first couple of things I read. I was like, I'm going to wait. And then it started getting picked up by more and more. And I was like, oh my God, this is actually going to happen.
I turned ESPN on at like 11 o'clock on Sunday night. And when I heard them say it on the air, you know, I thought, maybe this
holy
is
holy shit.
Yeah. Hell, Cindy kept her phone on until like 2 a.m. looking at articles. I'm like, can you turn that off? I'm looking to see if Calipari's a coach. I'm looking to see. It's like, okay, that's good. Let me know.
Cindy, I was doing the same thing.
Absolutely.
I was refreshing Twitter over and over
Absolutely. Last thing here it just amazes me. We talk about how crazy it's going to be for Arkansas basketball. You know, Bud Walton Arena was already discussed as one of the top arenas in the country, one of the hardest places to play. And now you bring Calipari in. I cannot imagine what next season and the year after, when he brings in players, it's going to be like for us. You know, it'll be like when the building was built and how crazy it was in the 90s. I think Musselman had brought it back to that for a couple of games. The Auburn game I got the opportunity to be at, I think, was crazy. The Duke game was crazy. But I think every night is crazy. You couldn't go to Cameron Indoor, Rupp Arena, which Calipari is leaving, Bud Walton Arena, why are we not in the Stores, Connecticut? Why aren't we in that? We're going to be there, and I think that's what you're going to see. And we're going to see a lot more ESPN games and a lot more.
That's what I was – a lot more game day is about to be there probably two or three times a year now.
I mean. And not that I don't like him, but somebody other than Jimmy Dykes is going to be calling our games. So I think that's a positive as well. Not that he's not bad. I like Jimmy, but – let's step it
John
up.
Calipari to Arkansas. I mean, it just—it still sounds weird. It still is.
I remember when Eddie Sutton left. Okay, when Eddie Sutton left Arkansas back in the 80s, and so I'm going to tell the story. And I'm just going to tell it because I kind of had that feeling over the weekend. Since then, when Eddie Sutton left, we were all about. I can't remember who it was. We thought we were going to get. I think it was who was the guy that was at Marquette that became an announcer. What? Al McGuire, and then there was so-and-so, and they all these names, and we were so excited because Eddie Sutton was going to crawl to Kentucky. Well, fuck you, Eddie. We're going to get a better coach. And we were flying around, hooping and hollering, and then they said, Nolan Richardson. And we went, what? Who's Nolan Richardson? But there was so much excitement around that, and by the time Nolan hit his peak and got us there, amazing, right? I hadn't felt this much excitement since I was, well, that's going to sound bad. I hadn't had this much excitement about the basketball program since I was 19 years old and worried about who was going to be the next Razorback basketball, or 20 years old and worried about who was going to be the next Razorback basketball coach. I was riding around in Clark Ray's Camaro Berlinetta with white shoe polish on the back, hire Al McGuire, and we were, you know, rolling around campus with it. So. This is exciting. I can't wait. I just can't wait for. I told a guy the other, as long as this doesn't turn into a Dana Altman thing, this is awesome. I was a little worried about that last night until I could saw tell that.
Arkansas fans across the state were going, why haven't we heard anything yet? Why is it not official yet? I know everybody's reporting it, but I'd like to see, you know, the picture with him signing a piece of paper or something. Yeah. But it's happening. It's happening, and. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun.
Amazing.
Did either one of you get a chance to watch on Sunday the women's game, the women's championship, Iowa versus South Carolina?
A little bit.
Got to watch the last 4 minutes of it.
Caitlin Clark came out like gangbusters in that first quarter and had 18. And it reminded me a little of the men's, where it was just South Carolina was almost – it just felt like they were inevitable. They were 10 deep or so, and they would bring in their backup five, and you're like – God, these girls are also championship quality. Like they bring in a ton of people. And I thought Dawn Staley, the head coach at South Carolina, had some really, really cool things to say afterward. One, she was just talking about her team as any coach would do. And then she did, while on the podium, took a second to be like, and also to Caitlin Clark, if you're listening to this or if you hear this, you are a badass and you carried the sport to levels we've never seen before. And I don't care what anyone says, you're one of the GOATs, and you earned all the respect, and you have our respect. And I thought, that's really cool. You could kind of be a little shady, be like, y'all were all talking about Caitlin Clark while we were undefeated. And you can be both. You can be happy about your team, but also say, hey, that girl over there, she bad as hell. She can play. She can hoop. And she can. And so shout out. I thought, and crazy, they came out on Tuesday. The women's game had the championship had 18 million viewership, and the men's game had 14 million. So the women's game was more watched for the first time ever than the men's championship. Maybe don't start the game at 9 o'clock on a freaking school night. And I got another question.
So why is the men's game now? I know I sound old. I mean, Kevin, you might have some knowledge on this. TBS carried the game, so it's a cable game. Why is it CBS has the rights?
Obviously, I think it's on a rotation. I think it goes is CBS it? True because it was True TV. I think maybe last year. I think it goes. I think it's a stupid decision by them to do that.
Because I'm sure think Turner, CBS would want that, and they would get more.
Well,
viewers.
And that's the other reason why I'm not saying it's the reason why the women's got more viewers. But if you look, most of the top viewed games are on an ABC, an NBC, a CBS. That's why ESPN, when they have a huge game, they'd rather put on ABC than ESPN because you want it on one of those. Those local news, anybody with an antenna can watch it. You know, those channels. Absolutely. I don't know why Turner and Paramount just chose to do that, but yeah, it's on a rotation.
Well, and so. By the way, so I read it was the most watched basketball game at any level in the last 5 years. I mean, more people watched that women's game than any other game in the last 5 years.
And it lived up to it. It was a good game. I mean, it was fun. I mean, UConn or South Carolina did pull away towards the end, but I mean, up until about 4 minutes left, Iowa was in the game, and I gotta respect them because I thought it was Caitlin Clark, and that's it. And there's some girls on that team that can play. Like, they're a good basketball team.
I think it was Kate Martin. I fell in love with her. She's kind of she's got blonde hair, but she's just tough. I mean, I'm not saying because she's cute or anything, but I mean, she was tough as nails, and just I really liked her game, the way she played so hard. I really enjoyed the women's basketball this year. So and probably will continue to watch women's basketball now.
Yeah. So do you think this was that defining moment, just like it was in 79 with Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, that really elevated the college game, where that made it a national spotlight, was the two best players? Because then I guess, you know, basketball was just localized, or it was NBA and it wasn't that much. But then Bird and Magic, that was – huge, right? And stories have been written about it. And then came Michael Jordan. And so, but do you think Caitlin Clark, is she Bird or is she Magic?
Probably more Bird than Magic, I think, I guess. She's more Steph Curry to me than anybody. I think
she does remind me so much of Steph Curry's game.
That's who she's fashioned her game after. And so, she's not a bad replication of it, by the way. So
here's what I would say. I hope she's more Magic, because Magic Johnson, as flamboyant as he was, he really made the game fun and brought people to the game. Larry, talented as he was, I think his rivalry made that come to the game. But Magic Johnson, I think, made it more of a national game than Larry Bird did. And then Michael Jordan made it a national game because of the Dream Team. So I'm hoping that Caitlin Clark can do what Magic did and get somewhere and make the women's game do that.
To that comparison, I would say she's more in the like Magic was a showman. You know, Magic was an awesome basketball player, but he also was like, I'm going to put on Showtime Lakers. I'm about to put on a show for y'all. I'm also going to be huge smile and have a fun press conference. Like Magic was just an entertainer, no matter if he was on a court or sitting around a table playing spades. That just was his personality. And I don't think Caitlin Clark, she's more of just a sicko hooper, but so was Michael Jordan, and people fell in love with Michael Jordan too. I don't think you have to necessarily be the great press conference. If your game's good and also I think what she has going for is she's a dog. She has a Kobe mentality, like that just killer instinct in her. And I think she's going to be successful on the pro level. And I just hope the WNBA does a good job of promote. Cause I just don't think I don't watch hardly any WNBA. And now you got, there's already some good players in the WNBA, but now you have the attention. Keep this wave going.
Yeah.
Because I enjoyed, like on Sunday, I cleared out the calendar. I was like, I'm watching Iowa, South Carolina. I'm watching from 3 to 5:30. I'm busy, you know?
Yeah. And I think I saw the average WNBA player makes probably somewhere around 70, 75 a year. I mean, that's not crud money, but that's nothing, you know, compared to the NBA, and I mean, I know she's making so much more in NIL, but that's not an option for her now, right? She's graduated. Yeah. Eligibility.
She's still going to make money off like Nike and
Adidas. Certainly,
yeah,
she'll make it.
State Farm is paying her a buttload of money, I can tell you that.
But she's going to elevate everybody's salary in women's basketball.
What she'll also do is, I think in 10 years' time, there's a lot of girls watching that fell in love during this tournament and was like, I want to be the next Caitlin Clark. And so you're going to see people who just the game's just got is going to keep expanding from this because there's so much interest. And now there's maybe a lot of girls who maybe never even thought about, do I want to be a basketball player? Now they're like, that's what I want to do when I grow up. I want to be Caitlin Clark. Just like Steph Curry did for the men's game, where like all these kids are, some coaches are probably pulling their hair out because just like Steph Curry did, there's all these young basketball players who just want to keep shooting these logo threes.
From the logo,
and you're like, you're not Caitlin Clark yet. But it brought a lot of excitement to the game. And it wasn't. Yeah. Caitlin Clark was the face. But, I mean, the South Carolina team was awesome. They had a bunch of good players. That LSU team had a bunch of good players. Paige Buechers at UConn was really good. I mean, there's a lot of good players, and they're all going to the WNBA. So there's a chance this momentum keeps traveling and keeps going.
South Carolina undefeated. That's amazing.
In the last 2 years, they've won 2 out of the last 3 years. They've won the title. And in the last 2 years, they've went, I think it was 68-1, their one loss being to Iowa last year in the Final Four. I mean, that incredible run by Don Staley in South Carolina.
Yeah, and the SEC is no slouch when it comes to women's basketball. And to go undefeated in that conference, amazing. Amazing.
Agreed.
I think that wraps us up on Sports Talk. We probably have more we need to get to, but we're running up on the time. We haven't done it in a while. Does anyone have a bougie problem? I mean, I just... How many does Liv have is probably the question, but...
So, I have a bougie problem, and it kind of resolved itself. But I want to talk about this. So, I think as everybody knows, we do a Calcutta for the NCAA tournament. And it's a great time, and I recommend if you have the opportunity, whether you're playing for pennies or the amount, and we did okay this year. So Purdue, go Boilermakers. And but we're in the draft, and it's an auction. And so I am listing to the auctioneer, and he's kind of pissed off because there's some people in the room that aren't that are okay drunk, and they're causing a little bit of a ruckus. And so he's going around the room, and so he was selling a team or a pair of teams, and he's going around sold. I'm like, whoa. I've got my hand up back here. Sorry, I didn't see it. And I said, and so I was a little bit ticked because look, I understand what's going on that, you know, but pay attention to where I had my hand up. So I went to the guy that got it and said, look, hey, you want me to buy this from you? He said, yeah, you can buy it from me. I really didn't mean to buy them, but I wasn't going to let them go that cheap. I said, okay, I'll buy that team from you or that pair. I'll buy it from you and give you $50. $50 profit. So he had bought it for $205. I was going to get to him $250, $45 profit. He said, okay, that's good. I'll see you. Okay, wait till the auction's done and we'll get it. Right, great, okay. Gentleman's agreement. Everything's good. We're settling up. The auction's over. The auctioneer's kind of settled down. I get it. He's an older guy. His hip was bothering him. He had to go. He wanted to get out. I get it. But so I go to the guy and I said, hey, okay, $250, right? To it. He said, well, no, I'm not sure. I talked to my other guys, and I'm not sure we're going to sell it. I said, okay, I tell you what, I really want the team. You know, my daughter-in-law, she's alumni of one of the teams, really want it, $300. I'll give you $100 profit. You leave here right now with $100 profit. He said, no, I think we're going to keep him. I'm like, okay, fine. It was Texas Tech and NC State. So in the Calcutta, you get 1.5, 3, 8, and then you get to the Final Four. You win the Final Four, it's 20. So they didn't quite make it all the way. So it was a little bit there. But I was really pissed off until I think about, some odd years ago, Lifford and I bought a team for $65 who went on to win the national championship, some team.
And who was that team?
UConn Huskies. $65 for that team. So I know karma comes around, but that really pissed me off that first, the auctioneer didn't pay attention to me, and second, the guy went back on his word when he said I could buy that team from him. Even the team I was trying to buy was Tech, but as it turned out, that just made me mad. So what did I do? I turned around and started putting money on them every week with Moneyline, and I was doing great until this last one. So I made just as much money as I would have.
I was wondering. I was like, how did it resolve itself? Yeah, okay, that's what
I did. I just said, okay, I'm gonna put money on it, and so Prestige Worldwide and I will get a little money off of that. But anyway,
Pops, how do you feel about, like, if the guy said, yeah, that sounds good, should he have to stick to that, or is it okay that he? I know either way, it would piss me off too. I'm like, oh, we agreed. But
I think if I agreed with you, I would sell the team to you. If I agreed to you there, I probably would have said, see me at the end. Let's talk at the end. I don't think I would have
instead of just saying, yeah, right, it sounds there. Good.
Yeah. But I think if you make the agreement, you got to stick by your word. That's all you got.
Yeah. Mother.
Yeah.
Hey, it's all good. It turned out great for everybody.
Everybody's happy.
Good. Yeah. Now, if NC State had beat Purdue, this would be a different conversation.
Yeah.
Tony would be out here cussing. Pops, you have any?
I have a bougie problem. I don't think I've shared this one before, and it's related to my cleaning lady again.
I think this is how bougie problems were started.
Well, I mean, to have a cleaning lady's, you know, kind of bougie, right? So if you have a cleaning lady to begin with, a
little bit,
you know, and then you have a problem with it. So she's gotten to where, and she didn't used to do this, but when she puts my trash bags in, she doesn't whip them out. You know what I'm saying? You know how you whip a trash bag out, you know, so it's open?
Yeah.
She just kind of pulls it apart and sticks it in there. So you put trash in, and I mean, you can only put, you know, in a 50-gallon bag, you can only put like a couple of napkins because it, you know, you've got to push the bag and open it.
When something heavy falls in it, does it not kind of open up?
Well, then there's air trap behind it too. So the air is in between the bag and the can. It's just, you know, you just got to open the bag. You've got to whip the bag before you put it in the trash bag. I mean, the trash can. Come on, people. Dude, this is not rocket science. You just have to open the bag.
I think now in Webster's Dictionary, what you just talked about is the definition behind bougie problem. If your problem is that your damn trash bag has a little air in it, you can't like put a rock or something in the bottom or a can and it doesn't open up. dude.
It's clung together, Tony. It's, you know how that plastic clings. You have to whip it. You have to separate the plastic.
There's another.
You know what I'm talking about. Come on.
If I don't get it,
it's clung together.
If I don't get it and whip it out, it won't go in. You know, it's like, what? Put the bag in.
Well, that's my bougie problem.
Well, so. that's a good one. That's well, a good
I'm,
one.
I'm sorry that you have to,
I'm
to
sorry,
deal
with
that. No, probably, thank you. I appreciate that, y'all's concern.
That's probably a lot.
It's a bitch.
Yeah. It is. That is another. I hate static cleaning my clothes. I can't stand it. Won't deal with it. Won't do it.
All right. I think that does it for another edition of the Just Press Play podcast. Guys, if we want to just have fun dreams of what Calipari is going to bring to the Arkansas program, we can do that. And what, you know, oh, Uncle Tony, what are you drinking? I know you sometimes have a themed drink. I wonder if it has something to do with an Italian slick back hair that's coming to Arkansas.
It doesn't. I tried to find something, but I didn't want to jinx it either because I haven't seen a press conference yet. So maybe the next time we get together, we'll have one of those. But tonight we're Rhythm and Soul, which I really relate to basketball because, you know, Rhythm and Soul, it really, college basketball is soul for me. I really enjoy the game. So
when I think Tony Green, I think rhythm and I think soul. The two words that come to mind.
That's right. So this drink is a combination of an old fashioned and a Sazerac to some extent. And so it's a very interesting mix. I've never had this one before. I think it's a new one for the podcast. So this involves Herb Saint, which is a substitute for the green fairy, all known as absinthe. So Herb Saint, a little bar spoon of Herb Saint, bourbon, sweet vermouth, Averna, which is an Amaro, and Angostura bitters, and a lemon peel. So it's bitter and sweet, rhythm and soul. It's a very nice drink. It is a stirred drink that you put, you can serve it neat or over ice. It's very nice. I highly recommend it. Rhythm and Soul.
Rhythm and Soul. All right. Well, I think that wraps us up. Guys, I will catch y'all on the flip side. Peace out.
Coach, can I?
Quick shout out to Lane. Looks like Lane won the bracket challenge. We'll get a newsletter out, try to do that. And the pit snoggle, I know we know, but that's DJ Burns. No question about it.
DJ Burns.
No doubt. DJ Burns.
America's big man.
America's big man. I like it. America's big man.
I've seen a few people saying all aboard the Calipari Ferry. I've seen, you know, a calzone if you want, or calzone if you want.
I like that better than the Calipari Ferry.
Yeah, I do.
I think we're still workshopping what to do here, but I was just curious. We know we had the Must Bus for a while, so I don't know what we got now.
Yeah, I like the calzone.
The calzone. We're in the calzone.
We're in the calzone. That's a good one. But I don't know if does Tyson own any part of Pizza Hut.
Don't know.
They have to watch.
Who wins the title first, Kentucky or Calipari at Arkansas?
Calipari at Arkansas. That's what I'm saying.
I say it too. There we go. It's a fresh start. All that NIL money. There's going to be two guys will get. And I suspect here's the other thing we didn't talk about. He's going to get some really good assistant coaches to help him out with those NCAAs. I really believe.
I think he's already said the report is he's bringing five coaches with him. I don't know if they're ones he was at Kentucky with or what, but he's got five guys he's bringing with him. It'll be exciting. And next year, Arkansas goes to play Kentucky at Rupp. So he's going to be back in Rupp Arena next year. So I'm sure that'll be a lovely time for him.
It sounds like must-watch TV.
There you go.
All right, guys. Y'all. I got to get back to work.
All right. See you guys.
Peace
out, guys.
Thanks.
See ya.
You bet.